Wenton's rainy Sunday. Good evening and welcome to another edition of The Strong Side on Sports Radio 102.1. I'm your host, Clark Ramsey, and joining me in studio is a true professional. He even has a license to prove it. Please welcome Dave Hansen to the broadcast.
Thanks, Clark. Good to be here on such a lovely fall day we're having today.
Divisional play started across the Greater Thumb Conference this week, and we already have some definite front runners in both divisions.
Yeah, definite front runners. Some surprises, some not so much surprises. We got to witness Lakers go undefeated so far this season. Harbor Beach, as we know, stands up on top. And one surprise I think you're going to hit on next.
Actually, perhaps the biggest surprise so far on top of the West, tied for first, are the Bad Axe Hatchets, winning consecutive games for the first time in 7 seasons.
First time in 7 seasons. Look at them go now. And just like we said before this week started, a great matchup for them. USA right now, nothing going on. Bad Axe goes up and puts 40 points up on USA at home. And they do a phenomenal job. And again, to a T, Tommy Morneau. What an unbelievable talent that kid has been so far. And not to leave out some other guys, McVay scoring a touchdown. Nye, Amon led the team in tackles. We'll get all into those details later, but man, are they playing well right now.
Tonight's edition of The Strong Side is being presented on WLEW Sports by McDonald's Food and Family Center in Bad Axe and Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick on M25 in Sebring. Over the course of the next 60 minutes, we'll be cruising through the area and taking looks at the results from Friday night, as well as an in-depth look from the WLAW Sports Game of the Week, Lakers at Cass City. It's all coming up on The Strong Side.
It's Chevy Truck Month at Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 and Sebring. Drive to the shore and save more on a new 2014 or 2015 Chevy truck.
This is Jay Maynard. Just here to let you know we have another great lease on a 2014 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 LT. It's got leather, straight-in bed liner, 20-inch wheels, all-terrain tires, auto-temperature dual-zone air, heated seats, trailer brake, custom sport package, power seat, rear camera, Bose system. $439 a month for everyone. $397 per month for GM employees and family members. Come see me, Jay Maynard, and let's make a deal.
Find your new truck and find new roads at Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 in Sebring. What's a football game without a great tailgate party? McDonald's Food and Family Center has all the supplies you need to make your fall game party a huge success. Whether you want the fixings to make your own great tailgate party snacks or you'd like ready-to-eat goodies to grab and go from the deli counter, McDonald's Food and Family Center will help make your pigskin pig out the talk of the parking lot. And of course, they're there 7 days a week for all your grocery, floral, and convenience needs. You'll be pleasantly surprised when you see how many shopping needs you can fulfill in one stop at friendly and helpful McDonald's Food and Family Center in the Northgate Shopping Center, Bad Axe.
Left side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side on Sports Radio 102.1. Clark Ramsey and Dave Hansen broadcasting live from the Clark Ramsey Manor on the east side of Huron County in Harbor Beach, Michigan on a wet and soggy Sunday evening. But right now, it's time to take a look at our WLAW Sports Game of the Week. This past Friday took us to Cass City, where the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers took on the Cass City Redhawks. And final score was Lakers 16, Cass City 12 in a hard-fought battle.
Hard-fought battle indeed. Barn burner we used a couple times, Clark. It got ugly at times. It got flamboyant at times. It was crazy. I mean, we got long touchdown passes. We got penalties upon penalties. We got personal fouls. We got all types of stuff you got to love in a hard-fought football game.
It's time to take a listen in on that WLAW Sports Game of the Week, Lakers at Kansas City. After this, we will be talking to Eden Grabowskis. Kansas City ready to kick this off on an absolutely beautiful night here in Kansas City, Michigan on WLAW Sports, and we are underway. A 7-yard loss, and that one brings up third and more than a country mile. This one is going all the way down to Imlay City. Dustin Cady to pass. It's complete to number 11 at the 25-yard line, and finally brought down at the 12-yard line. Brennan Wisner, the freshman, brings in the pass and gets the first down by 4 yards. He's brought down at the 12-yard line. First down, Lakers. Two wide each way. Wisner, your quarterback. Behind him, number 3, Shemka. And Wisner scrambling on fourth down. He's at the 5. He's down to the three, and he is going to be very close to the first down marker. And he is short by a yard.
Mark him short.
And the Cass City defense comes up with a stop on fourth down and six. They needed six. They got only four, the Lakers. So it's a turnover of downs on the first possession of the night. And Cass City with a long field, but no points on that board yet. 5:33 left in the first. Lakers' first drive stalled out at the Cass City four-yard line. Here's Cass City with the ball, facing a third and 25. Earl Rose was left, looking to pass to the right. He lets it fly. He's a man open, and it's in.
Wide open.
It is caught. Touchdown, Cass City. Number 10, Jack Stern, the senior, brings in the pass from Mason Erla. A beautiful 52-yard completion for Mason Erla to Jack Stern. Cass City strikes first. It's 6-0 Redhawks. 4.5 to play in the first half. Cass City still posting a shutout here. Lakers, though, trying to change that here on a third and six from the Cass City 7-yard line. Working off the right hash, receiver wide to the left. Wisner keeps it to the left, and he's down to the five, spins out of a tackle, and he's in for the touchdown, Lakers. Brendan Wisner in for the score. Lakers on the board, but we have a flag coming from the back judge on the defensive side. We'll see where that is. But regardless, Lakers is on the board with 6 points. 6-6, Cass City Lakers all tied up. Erla on fourth down, looking to pass to the end zone. Lets this one fly. It's overthrown. Incomplete. Intended to Cuthrell. Overthrown by 6-7 yards. In coverage there was Brennan Wisner. And it's a turnover of downs for Cass City, giving the ball back to Lakers at the Laker 22-yard line with 11 seconds left in the first half. And we have reached halftime of the WLW Sports Game of the Week. Lakers 8, Cass City 6. When we return, we'll break down that first half for you. It's 11:35 left in the third. Receiver wide each way, wing now in motion to the left. A little bit of a high snap, and this one hits
Fumble.
The floor, and this one's more likely going to be picked up by Lakers. Number 50 is right there all over it. Austin McCabe, he's been silent the first half. We mentioned it on the break. And Austin McCabe comes in with the fumble recovery, and after a high snap, and Lakers with the ball in the Cass City territory. Lakers facing a 4th and 9 from the Cass City 10-yard line, leading by two, trying to extend this one out to a bit more. Staying in the pocket, looking to his left. Now he has to scramble to his right, down to the far sideline. Has the first down. Is he in for
the
touchdown? They're not quite sure yet. No word. They say he's down at the 1-yard line.
Wow.
Regardless, he got the first down conversion on the fourth down. New set of downs, first and goal from the 1-yard line. Touchdown, Terrence Dubes right up the gut, and he's in for the score, and now it's 14-6. Lakers over Cass City with 7:59 left in the third quarter. A short field to work with, 36 yards. They march in for the score, the second of the night for the Lakers. Second and goal, 3:50 left in the third. Cass City trails by 10, knocking on Lakers' door, though. Handoff around the right side to Cuthrell, and he's in for the score. Touchdown, Cass City. Sawyer Cuthrell finds himself in the end zone. Touchdown, Cass City. It's now Lakers 16, Cass City 12. 4-point ball game on our hands. Wisner looking to pass, flies this one all the way down, and this one's going to be picked off by Cass City at the 8-yard line. Number 10, Jack Stern, went right into his hands. He's up to the 25 and finally brought down to the 29-yard line. And Cass City is fired up as the flag flies after the play is over. And Sawyer Cuthbert breaks free of his tackle,
fumbles.
Loses the fumble, picks it back up at the 43, and he's into Laker territory all the way down to the 30, and finally brought down at the 28-yard line. A huge run from Sawyer Cuthbert with a little bit of a circus act in the middle, brought down by Lakers number 18, Brandon Wischlager. Literally, Sawyer Cuthbert broke free of a tackle about 15 yards into that run. It got stripped out, went straight in front of him, shot out like a rocket. It bounced right into his hands. He scooped it back up, continued to run for another 20 yards. And here we are in Laker territory at the 27-yard line. After an interception, they're down at the Laker 23-yard line. Third and six. It has three men in the backfield. Hands off to Lewis, and jumping out of his tackle is number 83. Ian Snyder comes through. It swallows him up for a huge loss. All the way back out at the 30-yard line. A loss of 7. Ian Snyder came out of nowhere and stomped him in his tracks. Now brings up a 4th and 13 to go from the 30-yard line of Laker territory. Cass City's good and going for this. Wing to the right, two men in the backfield to the left. Earl is under center. Lakers breaks through the line, back to pass. He has to scramble, lets this one fly. It's caught. Oh, my goodness. It was in and out of the hands of the 15-yard line by number 10, Jack Stern. He was wide open. on a little bit of a broken play. Ball's incomplete. It's going to be a turnover of downs. Lakers gets the ball back. And that is the end of the third quarter with a score of Lakers 16, Cass City 12. Brennan Wisner, the freshman, Lakers fan base on their feet. Cass City fan base on their feet. Open receiver wide down. It's a little bit of a duck. And this one falls incomplete at the 10-yard line. Good coverage by Cass City. Was intended. Number 18, Brandon Wischlager, goes incomplete. And now it's back to Cass City ball. A good stop by the Cass City defense. A 41-yard drive results in a turnover of downs on five plays. First and 10 for Cass City from their own 29-yard line. And one break fairly tackled to Sawyer Cuthrell across midfield, and he's still on his way. He's down to the 30, to the 25, to the 20, and forced out of bounds right there by number 11, Wisner, at the 17-yard line. A huge run all the way from the 29, 21 to midfield. Throw in another 23. A 44-yard gain for Sawyer Cuthrell, forced out of bounds in Lakers red zone. A huge play with 6:27 left in the fourth. It's like the Oprah Winfrey show. You get a penalty, you get a penalty, you get a penalty. Everyone's getting a penalty tonight. Looking back to pass, rolling to his left, stays in the pocket, has to get rid of this one. Laker defense all over him, lets this one fly, and he had Drew Loomis open at the 20-yard line. He didn't realize it, though. He was about 5 yards away, and Mason Earle was just lucky to get that one away. He was way back at the 40-yard line with white jerseys swarming.
Fourth and 16. This could be the ball game, Clark.
Cass City coming out, receiver wide each way. Wing on either side as well in the slot. Erla in the shotgun. Looking to pass to his left, and he goes in and out of the hands. Drop pass to number 10, Jack Stern, at the 21-yard line. And that is going to be a turnover of downs. Back to Lakers with 3:56 left in the fourth quarter. Dubes at his own 28-yard line. That's what's been flying. It's a beautiful punt. Gets caught up in the wind, though, at the 29-yard line. And it's a muff punt. And
I don't think you can advance a muff punt.
But it's a muff punt. And Lakers takes it into the end zone, but that is not a touchdown. They are down at the spot of the muff punt. With 41 seconds left. 10 seconds left here. Last play of the night, more than likely. Erla gets the snap. Lakers coming all over him, and they bring him down for the sack. That is your ball game. Number 3, Evan Shemka. And number 83, Ian Snyder, bring down Mason Erla for the sack. And that is going to be your ball game. Final score, Cass City 12. Lakers with the victory, 16, on the WLEW Sports Network.
And now, join us on the phone tonight via tele on Thumb Sailor's 4G LTE network. It's the head coach of the Laker squad, Adam Grabauskas. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
What a win against Cass City, and now you stand atop of the Greater Thumb West at 1-0 and a perfect 4-0 on the season. How's the whole team and program feeling right now?
We're feeling good. We feel like we got a lot of work to do yet, but things are moving in the right direction, and we're happy with where we're sitting right now.
Hey, Coach, Dave Hansen here. Congratulations on the win, a hard-fought battle. I know you mentioned you got some things to work on. What are a couple of those things you guys are going to be working on this week as you prepare for your game on Friday?
I think it's just everything, just the fundamentals of the game. We can block better. We can tackle better. I think our line, that was the first game that we really stepped up, and, we lost some weapons in the game, and our offensive line had to step up and really block, but we're starting to gel there and get better. I thought Terrence and Mauricio and Evan Shemka all had probably their best game running the ball. So things are we're improving, but you're always looking at improving every single week and getting better.
Of course, Mauricio Diaz-Reyes with 92 yards on 17 carries on Friday, leading the charge in rushing for Lakers. And you hit it out of there, Adam, that you had some guys go down, some key injuries. Dustin Cady went down the first quarter. We saw Seth Bowles leave the game. Then Austin McCabe and Brady Post also went down at another point. What's the status on those guys?
We're not completely sure yet who we're going to have this week. We'll find out, as the week goes on. We're just hoping to get a couple of them back. And, hopefully it's not something that they're out for a long time, because all those guys are obviously key to our team. And, they're our better players, and they're doing a good job for us. So We'll just have to kind of wait and see who we can get back and who's not back.
Well, on a more positive note, Coach, very impressed with the freshman, Wisner there. Played phenomenal, we thought. What did you expect from the kid? Is he got a lot of reps in practice at quarterback? Because he sure didn't look like he missed a beat at all. He jumped in and just took the playbook by the reins, and it seemed flawless out there.
Well, the funny thing is we went into our summer camp, and he was not even on the varsity. Our three quarterbacks were Dustin, Seth, and Brady, who all ended up going out. So I guess going into the summer, that was 1, 2, and 3, and we really brought Wisner up as a defensive back. We needed help in the secondary, so we brought him up. And Dustin had been dealing with some stuff, so he got one practice where he got quite a few reps in, but that was it. I mean, in our 4 weeks, he had basically 1 week or 1 day of a lot of practice, and he's gotten a few reps here and there, but, you know, he's a good player, and that's why he's with us. And, you know, he's a pretty calm and cool kid, and really stepped in and ran the offense really well.
Aside from Wisner, what I was very impressed by is starting about at the later portions of the first quarter, be it throughout the entire game, your defensive front, those big guys up front, blasted through the Cassidy line time and time again, sweeping Erla out of the pocket and forcing him to give up the ball, and that seemed to be quite effective throughout the game.
Well, you know, we knew going in Erla's a good quarterback, and if you let him just sit back there, he'll pick you apart. So that was definitely an emphasis this week, is getting our front guys, getting some pressure on him and making him move around a little bit. You know, we saw on film that he was much more uncomfortable when he was throwing on the run, and that was kind of an emphasis up front. And our four guys up front, you know, they're good. And we actually have, you know, two guys on the bench that we rotate in that are pretty good too. And so we got some depth up there, and those guys get after it, and they're definitely leading the way on defense.
Especially with 4 sacks, 4 tackles for a loss, and 1 recovered fumble by the front men. Very impressive indeed. So let's look at next week here. Traveling to Vassar on the WLW Sports Game of the Week as well. Vassar 3-1, tied for first place right now in the West. Take us through that one.
It's going to be a tough game. Vassar's good. They have a lot of athletes. You know, the kid they have at quarterback's as good as we'll see all year. They have a couple of receivers that are, you know, as fast as we're going to see all year. So skill-wise, they're really, really good. You know, they lost some key kids from last year, but they're still a really tough team. And, you know, we're just had to play each day as it comes, you know, see who we have and get the guys ready that we do have to play. But it's definitely, I think it's going to be a game that will shape the conference standings. You know, it's going to determine, you know, who the top couple teams are. So definitely a big game, and one that I know both teams have been looking forward to since last year.
I absolutely am on board with you there, Coach. Can't wait to see what this game turns out to be. Just looking at some of the results from Vassar's game against Reese last week, their quarterback from Vassar attempted 29 passes and completed 20 of them. I don't think we need too much on tape to know that he's going to spread it out and throw the ball. The secondary is going to be challenged probably the most it has all year, and may all year, this week. Wisner obviously stepped up, looked good. Anything you're going to do different this week with the secondary to get them prepared for that?
You know, it is going to be the biggest passing challenge that we'll see. You know, a lot of teams we've seen, they're going to run it at you, but this is the first team that will spread us out and throw it around. And like I said, you know, the quarterback, he's a great player, and he's got some kids to throw to. That's the big thing, is he's got some guys that can run routes and catch the ball and make something happen. The big thing for us is just going to be see who we have in the secondary. You know, all of our injuries have, you know, every injury we had pretty much was a secondary guy. So we're just going to have to see who we have, and the guys that we have, we'll put them in the best position we can to have the best game possible.
And I must say, having said that, especially with your secondary, all the injuries, I am nominating you for the best quote of the year thus far through 4 weeks, the Chinese fire drill, it seemed like, in the backfield in the quoted there in the Tribune. I love the quote.
Well, it was craziness for a while, you know, and it was, you know, guys running all over in different positions, and we had some guys in positions they've never played in their life, so it was chaos for a little while, but our guys really stepped up.
Well, it's impressive to say the least, and best of luck to you this coming Friday as you travel to Vassar in week number 5 of the MHSA regular season, and thanks for being on the strong side.
Yep, thanks, guys.
That was Adam Gramauskas, the head coach for the Laker, Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers. Now 4-0, a perfect 4-0 on the season. When we return, we'll break down this game ahead of you on WLAW Sports' rendition of The Strong Side.
It's Chevy Truck Month at Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 and Sebring. Drive to the shore and save more on a new 2014 or 2015 Chevy truck.
Hi, this is Rod Teese from Moore Shoreline and Sebring, wanting to tell you that leasing has never been better than now. And get a 2015 Silverado heavy-duty crew cab 4x4 LT. Leather spray and bed liner, all-terrain tires, 6.0 V8 Vortec motor, heated seats, navigation, zero down, 36 months, 15,000 miles per year. For everyone, the price is $429 per month, and for gym employer family members, $397.
At Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 in Sebring, where you'll find your new truck and find new roads. What's a football game without a great tailgate party? McDonald's Food and Family Center has all the supplies you need to make your fall game party a huge success. Whether you want the fixings to make your own great tailgate party snacks, or you'd like ready-to-eat goodies to grab and go from the deli counter, McDonald's Food and Family Center will help make your pigskin pig out the talk of the parking lot. And of course, they're there 7 days a week for all your grocery, floral, and convenience needs. You'll be pleasantly surprised when you see how many shopping needs you can fulfill in one stop at friendly and helpful McDonald's Food and Family Center in the Northgate Shopping Center, Bad Axe.
Tonight's presentation at WLEW Sports is being powered by the Blazing Speed of Thumb Sailors 4G LTE Network, the talk of the thumb. Clark Ramsey and Dave Hansen on the strong side on WLEW Sports, broadcasting from Ahwatensaugee, Harbor Beach, Michigan tonight. As we just got off the phone with Adam Gribauskas, and he hit it on as well, that it was just chaos in the secondary there with so many injuries, but yet, when it came down to it, they stepped up to the plate and held off Cass City.
Well, I think credit to him and his staff. Those kids adapted very well. I guess from afar, you couldn't exactly tell that there was chaos. You know, there would be guy hurt, next guy's out, and they seemed to throw somebody in, and they seemed to contribute. At least they weren't picked apart. And, again, credit to him and his crew for being on the ball and having kids out there, and, again, putting them in a place where they can succeed, and they did just enough to escape on a tough road environment.
And if you're just joining us here on the strong side, the Lakers defeated Cass City 16-12. Cass City actually came out and scored first with 6-0 in the first quarter as Mason Early connected with Jack Stern for a 52-yard pass, converting on third down to make it 6-0. But then Lakers put up 16 straight points, and that was enough to hold them off the entire night. Dustin Cady goes down with an injury. They bring in freshman quarterback Brennan Wisner. He has a 7-yard run for a score and has the 2-point conversion for a keeper for himself. Makes it 8-6 Lakers. Move on to the third quarter. Terrence Dubes with a 1-yard run. Wisner keeps it on the 2-point conversion. He scores, 16-6 Lakers. Cass City in the third quarter also finds the end zone. Sawyer Cutherell, 5-yard run, 2-point was incomplete, no good. 16-12 score going into the fourth quarter, and both defenses locking down in that final session there. And final score, Lakers 16, Cass City 12. Lakers end of the game with 47 carries for 207 yards. Cass City, 35 carries for 204 yards. Passing the ball, Lakers at 38 yards, Cass City with 105 yards. So Cass City's offense actually had more yardage when it came down to it. But Lakers found themselves on top. Lakers was 4-for-9 and one interception in passing the ball. Cass City, 6-for-17. And Mason Early went on a streak there, I think about 12 straight passes that went incomplete. Or say, she should say 7 straight passes went incomplete and then finished with one complete pass to finish that game. Fumbles lost for Cass City, had one. And penalties, Lakers, 12 of them for 103 yards, eight penalties for Cass City for 70 yards.
Oh, and those penalties you mentioned at the end, crucial in this game. Some of these were on first down that forced first and 20. Sometimes was personal fouls. Other times was an encroachment on the defense, which gave the offense a free first down. These penalties on Friday night were crazy. They were all over the place. A lot of these, which frustrated, I know, Clark and I watching that game, is some of them were away from the play to the point where we didn't even know the flag was was there until after the officials started making the call. I mean, they were unnecessary, and there was no reason for them in that game.
And not to mention that one touchdown was actually called back due to a holding call against Lakers. And just the personal fouls, the late hits, you name it, it was probably in that game. But individual stats, Diaz Reyes, 92 yards in rushing the ball and 17 carries. Terrence Dubes, 13 carries, 60 yards and a touchdown. Wisner, the quarterback, stepping in, 12 carries, 52 yards and a score. Dustin Cady was a perfect 3-for-3 in passing the ball before he went out for 32 yards. And Wisner was 1-for-6 for 6 yards passing. Receiving, Seth Bowles, 2 receptions for 17 yards. And Wisner, 1 for 15 yards from Dustin Cady. Cass City, Sawyer Cuthrell, a heck of a game, 17 carries, 157 yards, and 1 touchdown. Loomis, 7 carries, 28 yards, and Nick Perry, the freshman, 5 carries for 25 yards. Passing the ball, Mason Erla started out hot, 6 for 17 to end the game, though, 105 yards passing the ball, and mostly in part with that 52-yard pass for the first strike of the night. He ended with 1 passing touchdown of the night, and receiving that was Jack Stern, 3 for 6, 72 yards and a score. And Sawyer Cuthrell, 1-for-4, 17 yards.
Oh, and I think looking at this, Clark, you can tell what makes Lakers a little bit tougher to stop if you're playing defense against them versus Cass City. Go ahead and take a look at Diaz Reyes, 17 carries, 90 yards. Terrence Dubes, 13 carries. Wisner had 12 carries. They're not afraid to give it to any one of these guys in bunches at any times. They have three guys they trust with a hot hand. One gets going, they'll go to him all night long and rotate it the whole night. Look at Cass City. You know Cuthrell's getting the ball. 17 carries, 157, and for good reason. But after that, Loomis, just 7 carries, just 28 yards, and Perry, just 5 carries, 25 yards. Really, it's written right there who's getting the football and who's not. And you can tell Lakers is the one it's harder to scheme for because you don't know which one is going to be that hot hand on that Friday night.
Lakers actually started this game with the ball. They won the toss and elected to receive. And their first drive took them all the way down to the Cass City 4-yard line before it stalled out, and the Cass City's defense stepped up to the plate. And that drive took 6 minutes and 27 seconds. Ironically, Lakers had the advantage of time of possession of 6 minutes, 38 seconds. Lakers with the ball for 27 minutes and 19 seconds, whereas Cass City had it 20 minutes and 41 seconds. The first half to second half was only 7 seconds apart. As far as having the ball.
Well, and as you can tell by the scores, 16-12, both teams were very evenly matched. Both teams had just over 200 yards rushing. Both teams had multiple penalties. These teams were mirror images of each other, and when one would run the ball well, the other would run the ball well. When one drive stopped, their other team's drive stopped, and it just one couldn't separate themselves from the other.
We had 5 combined turnovers of a possession on turning the ball over on fourth down throughout the game. Lakers, though, advances to 4-0 to take on Vassar, who's 3-1. They're only lost to Harbor Beach. But Lakers went down and get hurt. QB linebacker Dustin Cady went out of the game in the middle of the first quarter. Wide receiver Seth Bowles went out as well. And Austin McKay, Brady Post, both got injured in that game. They stayed in, and as well as Terrence Dubes. It almost looked like he dislocated his shoulder of some sort. He couldn't even move his right arm. He's holding it against his body at one point. On a defensive stop, like it wasn't a sling.
He did, and I'm not sure which arm it was to be exact, Clark, but he was holding onto it like he was having either shoulder or an elbow trouble, whether he landed on it wrong or twisted it up. But he fought through it, and I know every time he tackled somebody, all it did was aggravate it more, but he ended up getting a nice little break at the half and got back in there, ended up scoring a touchdown, a big touchdown for them in the third quarter, actually. Would have been the go-ahead touchdown and the reason they did win that game.
And Cassidy had plenty of glimpses of greatness throughout the game and just came up a little shy, 4 points.
Absolutely. And you got to love, like Coach Grabowski said, Mason Earl is a very good quarterback. He's got the frame, and he showed some athletic footwork in the pocket, escaping some tacklers. And that 52-yard strike, oh, it was awesome. It's what you see on Sunday afternoons, what you would see today watching football. Unless if you're...
Looks like Kirk Cousins out
there. Well, I was going to say, he did not look like Matt Stafford today. He looked better than him. But besides that, that was a perfect ball that he fired to Jack Stern. And there were a couple other times that he drilled guys right in the hands or hit him right in the chest, and that ball hit the turf. So unfortunate breaks for them. Really is not showing in his 6-for-17.
Cassidy now goes on a 2-game losing streak here and is at 2-2 overall and 0-1 in the GTC West standings, and they host Bad Axe this coming week, who's coming to the game at 2-2 and 1-0 atop of the Greater Thumb West Conference standings.
Okay.
Talk about the surprise of the year. Let's just kind of hint on Bannex.
Yeah, you know, a team that we knew had a couple, a few good athletes on the team. Always been a team that seemed to disappoint. Again, they have the athletes. Can they put it all together? Can they make big stops? Can they not get penalties against themselves that make them put them in situations where it's tough to succeed? And the other thing is, can they hang on to the football? Turnovers kill teams like that. But right now, Cass City better be careful. Bad X is hot, and they're looking for their third win in a row, and they're as good a chance as anybody to do it.
Do they have a chance to make the playoffs?
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
It's currently 52 degrees right here in Harbor Beach, Michigan, with an 87% humidity and light rain. The sunset is upon us here at 7:28, 3 minutes ago, according to it, although we didn't see it this entire afternoon. It's time to check, take a look at our weather here on WLAW Sports. This weather update is being brought to you by Graf Chevy Buick. You're here today, here to stay, Chevy and Buick dealer in Sandusky. For great vehicles, great incentives, great selection, and great service, visit the great Graf Chevy Buick on M46 in Sandusky. Paul Janis will be back after this.
An area of low pressure will be passing well off to our north, and at the same time, we have the trailing cold front behind it. This will give us a chance of some showers, maybe some thunderstorms through the overnight. Clouds will start to clear out late tomorrow, and eventually high pressure builds in for the middle of next week with plenty of sunshine. Cloudy skies for the overnight, chance of showers, maybe a thunderstorm. We'll have lows at 40 to 45. Winds from the north-northwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour, gust up to 25 at times. Chance of precipitation tonight near 80%. Clouds early tomorrow, increasing sunshine late day. Highs at 55 to 60. Winds from the north-northwest at 6 to 12 miles per hour, less than a 10% chance of shower activity early day. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, we'll have lows in the mid-40s. And Tuesday, the sunshine returns, blue skies, highs in the mid-60s. From WLEW Precision Weather Service, I'm meteorologist Paul Janis.
At the premier truck dealer in the Thumb, Graf Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky, we join Keith, Brandon, and Sam.
At Graf Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky, we always have a great selection of Chevy Silverado and Duramax diesel pickups.
And at the right price, because trucks are what we do.
Right now, drive a 2014 Silverado double cab 4x4 for only $274 a month and save over $14,500 on a 2014 Silverado HD.
The 100 anniversary deals just keep getting better.
So stop into the premier truck dealer in the Thumb at Graf Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky.
36-month, 30,000 GMBPP lease to qualified buyer. First month payment plus tax, title, license, and dock fees due at signing. Payment plus tax.
We got a lot of trucks.
You can say that again.
It's Chevy Truck Month at Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 and Sebring. Drive to the shore and save more on a new 2014 or 2015 Chevy truck.
This is Jay Maynard. Just here to let you know we have another great lease on a 2014 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 LT. It's got leather, straight in bed liner, 20-inch wheels, all-terrain tires, auto temperature, dual zone air, heated seats, trailer brake, custom sport package, power seat, rear camera, Bose system. $439 a month for everyone. $397 per month for GM employees and family members. Come see me, Jay Maynard, and let's make a deal.
Find your new truck and find new roads at Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 in Sebring. All that I can say was.
Left side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side on Sports Radio 102.1 with Clark Ramsey and Dave Hansen on 734 and your FM dial on Sports Radio 102.1. We just discussed our game of the week of week number four, and now let's take a look at the Bad Axe Hatchets coming off a two-game winning streak now, taking out the USA Patriots 40-6. USA scored first in this game, folks, and then Bad Axe rattled off 40 straight points. USA's Ryan Miller-Wise, with a 16-yard run to start out the scoring, made it 6-0 in the first, but Bad Axe's Tommy Morneau responded with a 34-yard run for its score. Two-point conversion was no good, and we're tied at 6 apiece. Move on to the second quarter, and Bad Axe's Matt McVay with a 1-yard run into the end zone for two-point conversion was no good. It's 12-6, Bad Axe. Tommy Morneau, then, the next three scores, right in a row. Tommy Morneau, a 10-yard run, 2-point no good, 20-6, Bad Axe, heading into halftime. Third quarter, Bad Axe, Tommy Morneau, 25-yard run, Bad Axe, Tommy Morneau, 29-yard run. Suddenly, it's 34-6, three quarters in, with one to go against USA. Fourth quarter, Jimmy Nye punches one in from 12 yards out to make it 40-6, final score from Bad Axe. Holy cow.
I don't know what else to say there, Clark. USA scores first, and Bad Axe obviously didn't like it because that was the last time USA finds the end zone, and Bad Axe, unbelievable. Again, Tommy Morneau, phenomenal athlete, and as he shows here, busting out runs of big gains, 34 yards, 25 yards, 29 yards, and those are just some of his touchdown runs. Clark, he ended up having 18 carries on the game, but managed 223 yards on the ground to go with those four touchdowns.
Four touchdowns and no passing touchdowns on the night. Although McVay had a touchdown and Nye had a touchdown, Ryan Miller-wise led the rushing attack for USA with 14 carries, 82 yards, and that sole touchdown. Cole Finkbeiner, 10 tackles, led the team for USA, and Ryan Miller-wise, 8 tackles and 1 interception.
Yeah, I think he even sells peanuts at halftime, Clark. I mean, he had all sorts of game going for USA in a game where they really had nothing going. He had the lone touchdown. He had 8 tackles on defense and picked off a pass in a game where they lost 40-6. A heck of an effort by him, but somebody else has got to step up and help that team out.
Bad Axe, 396 total yards, which means Morneau's 223 yards rushing, accounted for 56% of all Bad Axe's production on the day. 40 unanswered points, and it's the first time since 2007 that Bad Axe has had back-to-back wins. How huge is this for the program?
Oh, absolutely, and you know what? The fans love it. The kids love it. Morale is just better around the whole school, let alone the team. And you know what? It's going to keep these guys motivated to go for 3 in a row.
USA, it's the worst start since 2009 for them, where they lost the first 5 and finished at 2-7 that year. They're currently at 0-4 on the season. USA in 2009 went 2-7. 2008, though, they went 1-8. Bad Axe now advances to 2-2, 1-0 in the Greater Thumb West, atop of the standings currently, and they're traveling to Cass City, who is coming off a 2-game losing streak, trying to right the ship out there. Cass City 2-2 and 0-1.
Oh, and we already mentioned it just a few minutes ago. Going to be a really good ball game, especially if Bad Axe can keep this high-powered offense going. Again, there's going to have to be some other production outside of Morneau because teams are going to start to pinpoint and target him more so than ever. But if he can kind of keep the play action going and keep the eyes off of him for a little bit, still get his big plays, Bad Axe is going to score some points. And, hey, defense throwing a six-point game out there, they did a heck of a job. And Cass City, we've already seen them play, and we know what they can do. Mason Earle, Cuthrell, and company, you know, they're going to look to bounce back this week and get back into the winning column themselves.
Now, Dave, let's talk about USA. 0-4, 0-1 in the Greater Thumb West. They're traveling to Reese next week. They host Reese.
Reese is a team that we all know is always a powerhouse. Definitely in a rebuilding year. They're 1-3. But don't forget, it is Reese. And they still know what it takes to win. Not saying USA doesn't, but the future doesn't look any better for USA, as tough teams are going to keep coming in. And USA is going to have to make some changes out there and just get some things going in the right direction. But it's going to be another tough week for them against Reese.
Let's take a look at another area game. Final score, Brown City 39, Memphis 26. I realize this is on the edge of our parameters here, but still in the Greater Thumb East, Memphis all the way down there. But Brown City, final score 39-26. It was 14-6 Brown City after the first, 27-26 at halftime, as Memphis put up 20 points in the second quarter. But then Memphis shut out in the second half. It's all Brown City with a touchdown apiece in each quarter, 33-26, then 39-26, final score there.
Absolutely, Clark. And we could tell Brown City and the coaching staff made the proper changes at halftime because they shut down that Memphis offense in the second half. But a fun game to watch if you were there, Clark. Memphis had a 70-yard touchdown run. Brown City had an 80-yard touchdown run. Memphis had a 53-yard touchdown pass. And Brown City had a 20-yard touchdown pass. So all sorts of scoring and all sorts of different ways. A fun game to watch. Some good offenses scoring on some big-time plays.
In this game, Gillespie, the Memphis quarterback, 11 carries for 99 yards. He's also 7 for 12 with one interception and passing for 107 yards and 2 touchdowns. Gillespie also had 2 rushing touchdowns. Mitchell, 4 receptions for 70 yards and a touchdown, as well as Dante Wallace, with 1 touchdown of each. Brown City's rushing attack was led by Burgess, 13 carries, 193 yards, and 3 touchdowns rushing the ball. Hagner, 18 carries, 116 yards, and a touchdown. And Herman, 11 carries, 50 yards for a touchdown. Passing the ball, Burgess was 3 for 7, no interceptions, 48 yards, and a score. Receiving those balls, Muxlow, Hagner, and Randolph with a reception apiece, 13, 20, and 15 respectively. Hagner with 1 touchdown. 3 lead changes in this one. Then here's another game that Memphis came out and scored first, and then they never led again.
Yeah, quite a game back and forth. Again, a lot of scoring. Defenses, not so much. Again, Brown City did pick off a Memphis pass, but outside of that, not much going on in the wake of turnovers. 6 penalties for each team, Clark. Again, that yellow handkerchief wasn't just flying all over in Cass City. Apparently, it was flying in Memphis as well.
Not sure. Does it come down to discipline, or is it just people getting caught up as the first week of divisional play, or what do you think exactly?
Well, you always got to start with the officials and what crew is out there and what they're looking for in penalties. But speaking on behalf of the game we did, a lot of it was unnecessary stuff. Just getting carried away, getting into the moment and doing something that you just get carried away, like you mentioned. These penalties here, I'm not here to witness all of them, but a lot of them can be disciplinary, jumping the snap counts, maybe getting a little too aggressive. But the personal fouls are the ones you really got to stay away from because they are absolutely unnecessary.
Marlette 35, Ubley 26. This game was back and forth all the way through. Marlette strikes first in the first quarter. Hunter McGinnis with a 7-yard run, and the kick is good from Lentz to make it 7-0 Marlette. Ubley responds in the second quarter with a Derrick Brown 1-yard run. 2-point conversion was no good, so Marlette hangs on to a 1-point lead. But then Ubley responds with another touchdown from Derrick Brown, a 3-yard punch. 2-point was no good as well. Now Ubley with a lead, 12-7. Ubley, in the third quarter, extends their lead even more with a Dominic Rosenthal 3-yard run. And then Evan Black connects on the 2-point run for the conversion, makes it 20-7 in the third. Marlette then responds with 2 touchdowns here. Connor Thomas with a 6-yard run and a 2-point conversion, and then a Connor Thomas 5-yard run with another 2-point conversion. Suddenly, Marlette's back on top, 23-20. And before the third quarter was over, though, Ubley regains the lead by 3 with another Derrick Brown touchdown run. This one from 38 yards out. A 2-point conversion was no good, so Ubley going into the fourth quarter with a 26-23 advantage. Beat up as all can be. They lost some key players this past week. Non-active was Ubley's quarterback, Jeffrey Wright, main piece there. Guard Sawyer Messing, tight end Anthony Sweeney.
Absolutely, Clark. I give credit to this Ubley team. They did a heck of a job in a situation where they didn't know what, as of Monday morning, Clark, they didn't know who their quarterback was going to be. The JV team quarterback was in the same boat, not healthy. Your active quarterback, not healthy. So Evan Block coming in with one week's worth of practice, if that, to learn the offense and run that offense the way he did. They scored 26 points. Personal credit out to him. Nice job. Derrick Brown, obviously, you know, the workhorse in this game. 35 carries, 274 yards. A heck of a ball game by him. But some Ubley's got some bright spots here, some underclassmen that are really going to be some guys that are going to help this team. Maybe not so much this year, but next year especially. Again, I mentioned Brown. Welton's got another year. And again, Block coming out of nowhere, playing the quarterback position as well as he did. Kudos to him.
And that fourth quarter, Marlette scored twice with a Thomas 59-yard run to regain the lead, 29-26. Then Chapel with a 10-yard pass to McGinnis to make it 35-26 final score there. But like Dave said, 57 carries for 340 yards for Ubley. And 23 yards passing on 2-for-3 passing with no interceptions.
Yeah, definitely didn't see that coming. I would have guessed that they would not have put the ball in the air ever at all. No reason to. But again, some good play calling in right situations. Credit Coach Kaufman and his staff for putting Block in a situation where he can succeed. Again, 2 out of 3 times he completes that pass. Not a bad ratio. But the one staple that Ubley always has working for them is an above-average tough defense, and it slipped up this week, Clark. We were all worried about the offense. How's the new quarterback going to handle it? Who's going to get the ball? Who's going to run that quarterback position? Marlette had 425 yards rushing the football in 4 quarters. That simply can't happen. You see that type of number, and there's no way you lose that game if you're Marlette rushing rushing for 425 yards.
And yet it was still a 9-point game when it came down to it with a lot of lead changes.
And actually, going into the fourth quarter, Ubley was winning that game to completely contradict what I just said. But again, Marlette running the football with success. They're going to get first downs. They're going to wear down the defense. And that's what they did. They wore Ubley down. And in the fourth quarter, they jumped ahead and never looked back.
And Derrick Brown in that game, 35 carries, the workhorse, 274 yards, and 3 touchdowns on the night. Props to him. Ubley had 20 unanswered points in the second and third quarters, but then they were shut out in the first and fourth quarter. Ubley now 1-3 overall, 0-1 in the GTC East, travels to Sandusky with the same record of 1-3 and 0-1. And Marlette hosts Brown City. That game will be on Thumb Tailgater Sports. It's the B-Cups Pink Out game. That'll be on Thumb Tailgater Sports. Brown City at Marlette this coming week. Marlette 3-1 now, 1-0 in the Greater Thumb East, hosting Brown City, who's 2-2 and 1-0 in the East. Now Harbor Beach, Sandusky. At Harbor Beach, the Pirates put up 34 points compared to Sandusky's 6, which came in the fourth quarter. It was 6-0 with a Josh Elke 15-yard run in the first quarter, the only score of that quarter. In the second quarter, Josh Elke with a 47-yard pass complete to Chris Keys, and then capped that off in the first half with an Austin Seltz 38-yard run to make it 20-0 Harbor Beach at the half. And then Austin Seltz puts in another touchdown on a 5-yard run in the third quarter to make it 26-0 before Sandusky is able to score in the fourth quarter with a quarterback keeper, Lisecki, and a 2-yard run for the touchdown, making it 26-6. But Harbor Beach was not done yet with a Josh Shelke quarterback run for 29 yards. 2-point conversion was good, making it final score 34-6. Harbor Beach with 260 rushing yards on that game for 31 carries and only 56 yards through the air, but they were 2-for-3 with no interceptions.
Yeah, and Coach Shelke was on here with us last week, and he said that they were going to put the ball in the air a few more times than they did last week. Well, he was right on just a few, but as we already knew, Harbor Beach can throw the football when needed, and Josh Shelke completes just 2 passes, but only in 3 attempts for 56 yards and a score. Again, they're just barely opening up that playbook, Clark. We've barely seen half of what Coach Shelke and his boys can do in this offense. But again, we can talk about the 34 points all we want. Sandusky, just 170 yards of offense in the game and just 6 points. Tough to figure out this Harbor Beach defense. I know when we watched them when Cass City came to town, we seen Cass City move the football, and we thought a credit to Cass City for doing so. But again, Harbor Beach, they may get pushed a little bit, but they don't break, Clark. They do stop people. They do force turnovers, and they put their offense in situations to win games.
Austin Seltz, 11 carries for 95 yards and 2 scores on the night. Josh Elke, 10 carries for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns. Like we said, Josh Elke was 2-for-3 in passing, no interceptions for 56 yards and a touchdown pass to Chris Keys. 1 reception, and it's all you need for 47 yards and 1 touchdown. The other reception of the night went to Mitch Hearn, with 1 reception for 9 yards. The only stat we have on Sandusky is Lisecki had that lone touchdown, and Harbor Beach limited Sandusky to 174 yards rushing the ball. Both teams with 11 first downs that night, 0 passing yards for Sandusky.
Absolutely. They're one-dimensional, a team that doesn't pass the ball unless they absolutely have to, and this week they didn't matter to them this week. Again, Harbor Beach, you can go back to that defense. They just hard-hit, they're hard-nosed, they're tough, and they're tough to beat up, and they don't get pushed around, Clark. So you look at that, that's what makes this team very, very good. And they're on the road against Memphis next week, who's 1-3, and could be another tough game for Memphis as Harbor Beach on a roll.
And the Pirate defense only allowing 3 points a game. They've only allowed 2 touchdowns through 4 games. Sandusky hosts Ubley this coming week, and Harbor Beach is on the road at Memphis. In our final game, we have coverage here on Vassar 36, Reese 14, in a lopsided victory here between two bitter rivals, as it came out that Vassar never was trailing in this game. Mike Pratt with 1-yard run for Vassar, and it was all downhill from there. Reese responds with the second score of the night, but they were still trailing as the 2-point conversion failed, made it 7-6 Vassar in the second quarter. And then Vassar just loaded on. Reese did not score again until the fourth quarter with an 80-yard interception return for the night. Not to mention Vassar's Dave Wargo had an 86-yard kickoff return in the second quarter, making it 13-6. But final score from Vassar, Reese's game, 36-14. Vassar with 269 yards passing the ball, 20 for 29 in one interception.
Yeah, we mentioned this when Coach Grabowskis called us, and some things he's going to be working on is to watch a team that actually will throw the ball more than they run, which is rare for teams around in this area. Running the football is crucial here in the Thumb conferences, but Pratt can throw the football, and he throws it often, and he loves doing it. He's good at it. 20 for 29, Clark. Pretty darn good. 269 yards and two touchdowns. I know I wish he was on my fantasy team this weekend, I'll tell you that.
750 and a half on your FM dial, Sports Radio 102.1 on the Strong Side with Clark Ramsey and Dave Hansen. When we return, we'll be taking a look at week number 5 of the MHSAA regular season. Left side or right side, you're listening to the Strong Side.
What's a football game without a great tailgate party? McDonald's Food and Family Center has all the supplies you need to make your fall game party a huge success. Whether you want the fixings to make your own great tailgate party snacks or you'd like ready-to-eat goodies to grab and go from the deli counter, McDonald's Food and Family Center will help make your pigskin pig out the talk of the parking lot. And of course, they're there 7 days a week for all your grocery, floral, and convenience needs. You'll be pleasantly surprised when you see how many shopping needs you can fulfill in one stop at friendly and helpful McDonald's Food and Family Center in the Northgate Shopping Center, Bad Axe.
Don't give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself.
Keep your hands to the self, to yourself. The story of the game of week number 4, penalties all over the place. Just keep your hands to yourself. Sound like you got a little nitty gritty and dirty at the end of the Harbor Beach Sandusky game. Emotions were flying high there, especially when Sandusky, a good team, comes in and starts to kind of get a little chippy.
Oh, absolutely, Clark. But those schools go back, way back. They've played against each other for a long time. And neither team likes to lose. You know that.
Taking a look now at week number 5. It's hard to believe that week number 5 of the midway of the regular season is already here. With this coming Friday's games, we have Bad Axe at Cass City. Dave, what do you think on this one?
Oh, I think it's going to be another great football game, one that's going to be very hard to predict. A Bad Axe team that is showing that they are the real deal. They can win football games, breaking some old traditions here right now and getting back to the way Bad Axe used to play football a long time ago, winning some football games, scoring some points with good defense. Cass City, expectations are high. They're coming off 2 losing games. You know what? You got to like what Bad Axe is doing right now. They could be the favorite in this game.
Reese at USA. Reese, of course, down this year, but USA even further down, winless this so far through 4 games.
USA just hasn't shown anything to this point. Reese has got 1 win under their belt. You got to like Reese in this football game. I know they're on the road, but Reese will find a way to get their 2nd win of the season.
In the Greater Thumb East, Harbor Beach at Memphis. I think I know the result of this one.
Yeah, I think so, Clark, and it's been a pattern so far this year. Harbor Beach will probably score 30-plus points and hold Memphis to under 10. Again, probably a lopsided victory there, but Harbor Beach, obviously the cream of the crop in this area.
And, of course, Harbor Beach's offense averaging 44.75 points per game right now. Another area game going on next this coming Friday, Brown City is at Marlette.
Oh, game! Another good game there, Clark. Another toss-up type game for me. Two very good teams going at it. You could really take either one here, Clark. Brown City, a tough team. Got to like what they're doing. Marlette probably is a team I would go with. Mm-hmm. I like them a little bit more. They're a little bit more dangerous on offense. I would go that route.
And Ubley's at Sandusky.
Have I said interesting enough yet, Clark? Another game that I think is very
fascinating.
Close.
Fascinating. Well, we need to find a thesaurus around here.
Absolutely. Ubley, though, a questionable team. I mean, you got to wonder what's going on there. Is Evan Block going to improve with another week of practice? He did very well this week, just ran into a tough team. Again, Sandusky, haven't seen him yet in person. Team that's not a bad football team. I'll take a shot. I think Ubley's got a good enough team. I don't think Coach Kaufman allows that defense to slack like they did this Friday. I think they're going to come out and play much better, especially on defense.
And, of course, the WLEW Sports Game of the Week coverage starting at about 6:20 p.m. with Clark Ramsey and Mike Meisner filling in for Dave Hansen. Mr. Hansen's going to be out of the region, proving his professional license of being in the PGA. So we'll have Mike Meisner up in the booth with us. But, Dave, let's talk about this Vassar Lakers game.
Oh, I'm absolutely going to be bummed that I'm going to miss this game, Clark. But, again, we've watched Lakers now. We've seen what they got. Haven't seen Vassar yet in person. But I tell you what, the penalties and the mistakes that Lakers made in this game, is all I needed to know to say that Vassar has got the edge going into this game right now. Should be a great football game, but Lakers got to clean it up. Too many penalties. I believe the stat sheet said 12 penalties, Clark.
12 penalties for the Lakers.
That is too hard to overcome. It's hard enough to outgain and outscore another team, but when you got to make up 70 to 100 yards in penalty yardages,
how about 103?
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable.
Don't give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself.
Absolutely, Clark. And the personal foul penalties, all that stuff, they're drive killers, and all the high-powered passing offense like Vassar needs is a couple extra possessions, and they can score at any time.
One other thing I'd like to talk about, Dave, besides the Michigan State Spartans holding Eastern Michigan to a mere yard in the first half, what's going on with the Michigan program right now?
Oh, man. Can you talk about a hotter seat right now than Brady Hoke sitting
in? I had to laugh. I'm not sure if it's still on Wikipedia or not, but overnight, Wikipedia, someone went up and changed Brady Hoke's title from head coach to exercise coach.
Oh, no.
That's apparently all he's doing. Now, someone else switched it to interim coach as well, and that's very potential.
There's a lot of potential for that right now. Again, high hopes for him there. So far, no success and no changes in that program. Always rooting for Old Blue, Clark, but they'll be happy to be 500 this year.
And speaking of Old Blue, how about that Honolulu Blue? Forward down the field, they went today and took out the Green Bay Packers. Holy cow, I was not expecting that one after the debacle of last week.
Talking about debacle, how about that defense? We're cutting wide receivers, putting on waivers to add defensive backs from the practice squad, and they come out and shut down Aaron Rodgers today? Couldn't believe it.
I was quite surprised myself. And then, of course, we have our lovely defensive front rejoicing after a sack, and then they pull a hip muscle, and he goes down for the game. Only the Lions would be able to do that.
Absolutely. That is typical Lions and good old Lions, we would always say. But, hey, they found a way to get the win. They're in first place. Let's enjoy it while they're there.
So final thoughts from this week, Dave. What your thoughts? And I mean, besides that, we've hit the penalties enough. But Harbor Beach still rolling. Lakers pushing themselves out forward beyond anyone else, other local teams in the West. In my opinion, it comes down to Lakers and Vassar in the West. And someone, I don't know if anyone can touch Harbor Beach in the East.
Oh, there is no one that can touch Harbor Beach in the East. They are very, very good, and they are beating teams handily right now. Let's focus on the West. Cass City, I still think, Clark, has an outside chance not only to make the playoffs, but to make a run and push some of these teams down the stretch. Again, they shape up a little bit, and they had a game in Lakers against Lakers fall through their fingertips this Friday. But God, I can't talk enough about this Lakers-Vassar football game. Again, Lakers, a team that are battling some injuries right now. Hey, if Wisner can continue to play the way he did, get a little help, they can slow down this Vassar offense. But Vassar's going to score points, and Lakers going to have to hang with them. So, again, a very fun. You're going to see some passing yardage, which we haven't seen yet. A team that's going to throw the ball predominantly. Going to be a fun one to watch.
And, of course, today's rendition of The Strong Side on Sports Radio 102.1 was being presented by McDowell's Food and Family Center in Bennex and Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick in Sebring. It's been a pleasure to have you in studio here, Dave, with me today. And, of course, you can catch in next week, this Friday, on the Sports Game of the Week. WLAW Sports will be heading down to Vassar. M15, top of the hill in Vassar, as the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers try to remain perfect and move on down to Vassar to take on the Vulcans. Of course, coverage starts at 6:20 p.m. on Sports Radio 102.1. Worldwide at WLAWSports.com and Thumbnet.net, or listen to the old transistor radio 102.1, or of course look us up on Twitter. That's at WLAWSports.com. So on behalf of Dave Hansen, I'm Clark Ramsey. You've been listening to The Strong Side on Sports Radio 102.1. Once again, Vassar and Lakers on this game of the week this coming Friday. Coverage starts at 6:20 p.m. Left side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side.